From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled Divine Vindication and Vengeance. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. To him be glory both now and forever. Heaven will be full of the ceaseless praises of Jesus. Eternity, thine unnumbered years shall speed their everlasting course, but forever and forever to him be glory. Is he not a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? To him be glory. Is he not king forever? King of kings and Lord of lords, the everlasting Father? To him be glory forever. Never shall his praises cease. That which was bought with blood deserves to last while immortality endures. The glory of the cross must never be eclipsed. The luster of the grave and of the resurrection must never be dimmed. O Jesus, thou shalt be praised forever. Long as immortal spirits live, long as the Father's throne endures, forever, forever unto thee shall be glory. Believer, you are anticipating the time when you shall join the saints above in ascribing all glory to Jesus. But are you glorifying him now? The apostle's words are, To him be glory both now and forever. Will you not this day make it your prayer? Lord, help me to glorify thee. I am poor. Help me to glorify thee by contentment. I am sick. Help me to give thee honor by patience. I have talents. Help me to extol thee by spending them for thee. I have time, Lord. Help me to redeem it that I may serve thee. I have a heart to feel, Lord. Let not that heart feel no love but thine, and glow with no flame but affection for thee. I have a head to think, Lord. Help me to think of thee and for thee. Thou hast put me in this world for something, Lord. Show me what that is, and help me to work out my life purpose. I cannot do much, but as the widow put in her two mites, which were all her living, so, Lord, I cast my time and eternity too into thy treasury. I am all thine. Take me and enable me to glorify thee now, in all that I say, in all that I do, and with all that I have.
Be and quicken from home.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns takes us now to chapter 12. The apostle James has been murdered by King Herod, and Peter has been imprisoned to await his own execution. Dr. Cairns will emphasize that what happened to these two apostles was for the glory of God, a truth that should guide the lives of all of God's people. The wicked Herod acted the fool by not taking God into account. At the same time, the scripture presents a wonderful picture of the church at prayer. The narrative contains many important lessons for the Christian life. Herod laid his evil plans, but the God of heaven and earth had something else in mind. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message entitled, Divine Vindication and Vengeance.
Acts chapter 12 is our Bible reading this morning, the 12th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read from verse 1 to the end of verse 10 and then take up the reading at verse 20. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a god, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. We have skipped over the latter part of chapter 11, not because there is nothing there that is worthy of our attention, for indeed one of the great missionary movements of the early church is recorded in the final part of chapter 11, but I decided I would need to start moving on a little, because the 12th chapter is important. I haven't made up my mind yet whether to return to it next week or for the next 2 weeks. If we were going to do justice to the 12th chapter, it is a chapter which would take quite a few weeks in studying. But as I've said right along these studies, there are 28 chapters in Acts, and if I ever hope to finish them, I'll have to get the brakes off and leave out portions here and there, and simply do a quicker study through the book. Now this morning, we want to look at the portion we have read in the 12th chapter. You may remember that in outlining the section, chapters 8 through 12, I said that there were three main portions. First of all, at the very beginning of chapter 8, you have the dispersion of the saints. And then immediately following that, from chapter 8 right through to the end of chapter 11, you have the dispersal of the seed. How that the seed of the Word of God was scattered here and there in the preaching of the Word. And then, if you remember, the third section was the 12th chapter, the deepening of the sufferings of the early church. And certainly, as we read the chapter, you can see how the sufferings certainly were deepened. Now, it's a remarkable chapter that we have before us this morning. The portion that we have read together I have entitled Divine Vindication and Divine Vengeance. It doesn't take a preacher to show you that in the scripture reading. How that by the ministry of the angel of the Lord, Peter was led forth out of prison, and the Lord vindicated his people and answered their prayers. And then at the end of the chapter, by the ministry of the angel of the Lord, divine vengeance was visited upon Herod the king, and he was smitten and eaten up of worms. Now, in seeking to cover the fairly extensive territory of the Bible reading this morning, I want to take five headings to sum up all that we've read. We want to consider, first of all, the tyrant who is set before us here, Herod the king, as he's called in verse 1. Now, there are various Herods in the New Testament, and it's a good thing to distinguish among these men who in Scripture bear the same name, all of the great Herodian family, of course. This Herod is Herod Agrippa the First, as he's known in secular history, sometimes, usually indeed, they're referred to merely as Agrippa. He was not born a king, but he was created a king by the Roman Emperor Caligula. And those of you who have read anything of ancient Roman history will know that he was one of the baser characters of even the base Roman society. It says a lot for Herod Agrippa that he was a bosom companion of Caligula. And Caligula created this man king. He gave him authority over a certain territory. And then we find that after Caligula's time, the Emperor Claudius, he came along and he added more territory so that Herod Agrippa I took over the rulership of the entire area of Palestine. He had authority as his grandfather, Herod the Great, who slew the infants, you may remember, he had the same area of vast authority. Now, he maintained that for about 3 years, we're told, remaining a king over all those vast dominions. When you read the Bible here, and then when you take your history books and compare, not to show that the Bible's true by history, because whatever the history books say, the Bible's true. In fact, when you read the history books, you just wonder how we can ever get very much truth out of them, because I've been reading a little history recently of the 16th century again, and when I read the story of the very same events by a Baptist and by a Presbyterian, or certainly somebody of the Reformed faith, and they're summing up the same events, talking about the same men, you would think they were dealing with different planets. Absolutely different planets. So that it's a miracle we know anything by history. It's such a very subjective science or art. I don't know which name really to give it. My apologies to our historian down in the corner. But I'm saying this morning that we are not appealing to history to prove the Bible. History is true when the Bible says it's true, when the both come together, not vice versa. Now then, when you put the Bible story and the complementary facts of ancient history together, you find that the picture of this man, Herod Agrippa, is a very vivid one indeed. There stands before us a character, a man of the most iniquitous passion, and, as you'll see clearly here, a man of inordinate pride. One who indulged every appetite for pomp and for power and prestige, and who would practice any infamous policy in order to achieve that pomp and that power. Now, when you look at the man's history, you find that, to use a nice big word, people are fond of their genealogical tree. Well, genealogically, this man was related to some of the vilest characters in history. He was a branch of the same tree whose other branches included Herod the Great, who slew every infant under two in order to seek to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a nephew of Herod Antipas, who slew with Herodias, who happened to be this man's sister, who slew John the Baptist so barbarously in a drunken fit, and to fulfill a drunken vow, so that you can see that he doesn't come from any very good family tree. Spiritually, the picture is even worse, because he was of that line which commenced with Cain, who murdered the godly Abel, which continued with such scions as Nimrod, the mighty hunter of souls before the Lord, and Pharaoh, who said, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey him?" And Goliath, the man who mocked the Lord God of Israel and sought to finish his work, and Antiochus Epiphanes, who sought to wipe out the entire cause of God in the intertestamental period, and will set about making war with the saints of God, as Daniel prophesied. So that spiritually then, this man is of a bad stock. Personally, this tyrant was a fool. And I want you to notice his folly very clearly. He was a fool because he thought himself to be invincible. And many other people thought he was invincible. It's interesting that here they called him and he gloried in their worship. It's interesting that that happened in the very city of Cornelius. Remember we were looking at Cornelius? In Caesarea, Cornelius fell down before Peter. And Peter says, "Rise up, for I myself am a man." And here is a man, and he has people calling him God, and he takes the worship of God. Of course, that's the mark of anti-Christianity right along the line. That's why spiritually Romanism is still in the line of Antichrist. That's why Rome is the religious counterpart to Antichrist in the political realm, because at his coronation, can you imagine a humble servant of Jesus Christ having a coronation when the Lord Jesus himself is rejected in this world of sin? At his coronation, the people, or the Pope of Rome, is called by the very name of God Almighty and is worshipped as God Almighty. Never let anybody in this ecumenical age tell you that Romanism is a branch of Christianity. Romanism is a resurrection of ancient Babylonianism. It is a resurrection of total anti-God, anti-Christian religion and philosophy, with a little of Judaism attached on, and the name of Christ, blasphemy plastered over the whole to make it appear as Christian. My friend, it's always the mark of anti-Christianism that it takes the worship of God. That's exactly what was happening here. He was a fool. He thought himself to be invincible. But he soon found out rather differently. How many fools there are walking about today. How many people who maybe don't go as far as this man yet feel that they are strong, healthy, yes, in a measure invincible. They need not to think about the gospel. They don't need to stop and consider their ways. They don't need to take cognizance of the gospel warning to repent and be converted. They don't need to take the warning about hell and eternity without Christ. They're virile, they're strong, they're invincible. Man, that's playing the fool, because with the breath of his nostrils, God can just wipe out that strong life and body of yours and leave you in a lost sinner's hell. It's the fool who boasts of his strength when he hasn't the strength of a straw caught in a hurricane. Then you'll see his folly in that he thought he could destroy, and this was for purely political purposes, which I'll not try to describe or define this morning. For purely political purposes, he thought he could destroy the people of God. And he made the big mistake of not looking beyond them to see the God who operated back of them. My friend, there are still people like that in the world today. I don't want to preach about people who are not here. It could be that you are here, and the people of God to you are the butt of every jest and joke. It could be that to be a Christian is something that is merely worthy of laughter. My friend, it is a fool who would look at God's people, and I'm not going to say that every professing Christian or even every real Christian is perfect. In fact, I'm willing to say not one of them is perfect. This side of heaven, their perfection is in Christ. Soon it will be theirs in the body when they are with the Lord for all eternity. But while you look at God's people and you find them only a butt of every joke, mocking jest, my friend, let me tell you, back of them there lies the eternal God. Back of them there operates God, who created all things out of nothing, whose very word can cause things to come into existence, and whose very word can bring sinners down to perdition. This man was a fool in that he took no notice of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.